God wants to be known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, I understand, my grandfather, the wonderful man, an adventurer, a man of faith. Isaac, I understand, he was a good man. Not a great man, but a good man. As for me, Jacob, well, if you have read anything about me, or if you know anything about me, you wonder how could God say in the Bible, Jacob have I loved. Not very lovable person, me. But God wants to be known as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My mother tells me that when we were born, my twin brother and I, he came first. He came out looking somewhat red, so they called him Red, which means Esau. And then I came out grabbing my brother's heel. I was a heel holder. The name Jacob means heel holder, grabber. It also means in our language, deceiver, liar, cheater. That's me. I learned early in life, because I was told by my parents, that my brother would have all the honors, he would continue the name of the family, and he would be blessed by God. Second, I didn't account for it. When you're number two, you try harder. I realized that Esau would be blessed by God and get the blessing that my father would then give to me. God would be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Esau. Something else I learned early in life, and that's what I heard, God helps those who help themselves. And I realized nobody else was going to do this for me. I was going to have to do it myself. God helps those who help themselves. At the end of my life, I didn't believe that anymore, but I sure started that way. I somehow or other had to get the birthright. I somehow or other had to get the blessing of God. My brother was a hunter. He was always in the fields. He wanted to be outdoors. I was more of an inward person. I stayed at home with my mother. I cooked in the kitchen. And my brother was my father's favorite, and I was my mother's favorite. So, one day, my brother was out hunting. A long time. It was almost getting dark by the time he came home, and he was famished. He hadn't taken any lunch. He had eaten nothing. He came down, sat down at the kitchen table, pounded on the table, and said, "Give me some of that grub." I said, all right, just a minute. I'm preparing some lentil soup. Give me that lentil soup. I said, fine, I'll give it to you. But first, will you give me your birthright? Birthright, birthright, he said, I don't want to care about my birthright. Forget about my birthright. Yeah, you can have it. I mean, are you sure, I said? You want to give me your birthright? Then I'll give you soup. Yes, 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 give me soup. He ate, and that was how I got my birthright. And the blessing of God, that was another story, much more difficult than that. It was years, years later. My father had become blind. And he couldn't see anymore, but he still had all of his senses about him. And one day, I think my father thought it was time to get the blessing of God to Esau. So he called him into the tent and told him to go hunting, get a venison, prepare it, barbecue it the way I like it, and then after the meal, he would bless me. So Esau took off. My mother overhauled the whole thing. She told me to come in the kitchen. She said, son, we have to act fast. I mean fast. I want you to go out, get a goat, kill it, bring it here, I'll prepare it. I'll get it ready for with all the spices that your father likes. And then you're going to take that to him. But mother, I said, you can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not as big as he's, first of all. He can't see me, I know that, but if he thinks that he's not Esau, then he might feel me or something. I'll take care of it, mother said. I'll take care of that. But look, mother, my clothes, I don't have out the clothes that my brother has. He can smell those clothes from outdoors. I'll take care of it. I'll get you one of his jackets to put on. But mother, my clothes are this way, and Esau, he talks like this. And I can't talk like that. I'm going to, you can too, mother said. I'll do it. This is the only chance you have. I have to tell you that after we prepared this meal and I was taking the dish into his tent, my hands were just shaking like this. I was really scared to do that. I had to be a grabber. I had to be a liar. I had to be a deceiver. And I went to my father and I said, Father, here's the venison for you. He didn't like my voice. He said, are you sure you're Esau?
Yes, I am.
Are you sure you're Esau?
Yes, I am.
I lied over and over and over again. And then he said to me, and how come that you bring it to me so quickly? And I said,
the Lord your God brought it to me.
Lies, deception. Are you sure you're Esau?
Yes, I'm Esau, your brother.
And it went on like that. Let me feel you. So he came and he touched me. Mother had put some goatskin here. So she felt hairy. And then he smelled me, and the coat I had on was his, he thought was, he was still not sure. I don't know how many times I lied and deceived. Finally, he sat down and ate the meal, and he blessed me, gave me the blessing of God, that God would bless me above my brother, that my brother would be subservient to me, and that I would be blessed with a large family. And a land, the land that has been given to the father, his father Abraham, and was to be ours. I got all of it. When the blessing was finished, Esau came in. When he realized what had happened, he was beside himself. It got so bad that Esau was planning to kill me. Mother went to father. I have a brother in Laban, Nahor, and he's got to go there. And so I was sent away. I'd never been away from home, never. But on that first night away from home, I was scared to death out in the wilderness. Here I was, amid all the wild beasts and the tribes living out there. I didn't know what would happen. I put my head on a stone like a pillow, and I didn't have much covering. I just felt really left alone out there. And after I dropped off to sleep, I saw a ladder that reached all the way up to heaven, way up. And there were angels on the ladder somewhere. And what was I seeing? What was this? And I heard a voice saying to me, Jacob, this land I will give you, and I will take care of you where you are going. I will make sure that you will be prosperous, and I will make sure you will be clothed, and you'll have food, and I'll take care of you, and I'll bring you back to this land, which I promised to your grandfather. And the blessing will be on you. And I realized that God had not said anything about my deception and my lies and my cheating and my grabbing this birthright and this blessing in the place of my brother. Not a word. Only promises, only blessings about the future and my dream. I said to God, if you'll prosper me, and if you'll bring me back to this land you promised to us and to our children, I will give you a tithe, 10% of everything.
Mend it.
But I have provision. If he didn't bless me, and if I wouldn't get the things that he promised, I wouldn't give him the tithe either. That's me. I went to the land where my uncle lived. And when we came near to the city of Haran, this is where the city that he lived in, there was a well out there, and there were some men there, and I asked whether they knew Laban, and they said, oh, yes. And they knew where he was and where he lived. And he said, his daughter is just coming to bring some animals to be watered here. So I went up to the daughter, my niece, cousin, and she and I embraced and said hello and welcomed each other. And then she took me to her father. Her father was overjoyed. He put his arms around me. This is the son of my sister. Be welcome, welcome. This is you. And welcome to our house. We must stay here overnight and eat at our table and help us with our animals and all the things that we have outside. Yes, wonderful to have you here. He was just a wonderful man. Felt right at home. And a week went by. A month went by. I was to learn things about this man that were not so great. I'm going to talk a little bit like he talked so that you can hear how he talked. So it was about a month later, and we were sitting at the table, and he said to me, Jacob, my boy, Jacob. Yeah, Jacob, it's been great to have you here. You know, it's really nice to have family with us here. And I hope that you're enjoying your time here and all this. But you know, you can't go out to my fields and work all the time and not get anything for that. So what do you want, huh? What do you want? I'd like to know. Tell me what you want. I said, well, Uncle, to be honest with you, I'm very happy to be here, and I thank you for the fact that I'm able to sleep here and work for you and be here with family, and it's been wonderful. And I do need you to know one thing, that I love your daughter Rachel. I've fallen in love with her, and I would like to marry her. And this is what I would like to do. I will work for you for 7 years, 7 years, and then I would like to marry her. He said, oh, yes, Jacob, my boy, that's a wonderful thing. That's a great thing. I'm glad to do that for you. Of course I will do that for you. In about 7 years, you will have to as your wife. Absolutely, absolutely. He was so happy because he didn't have to spend a penny on me. That's why. I was to learn later that was a good reason for him to give me. It wasn't about 7 years. They went by very quickly. When you're in love, and I had to talk with Rachel every day. We got together and saw each other and talked about our future. And the 7 years flitted by, and then they were finished. And then I remember the day she came down the aisle in her white dress, and we were married. In marriage, what we do in that country was to invite many friends and family in for a whole week of celebration. And we were going to celebrate for a whole week this marriage. So she came down the aisle, and then toward the evening, she went into the tent, and she said, please excuse me, and I'll get ready for you, and then when I'm ready, I'll call you. This was one of those nights when the clouds had obscured everything. The stars, they couldn't see them. No moon was hidden. And it was a very dark night, a very dark night. And when she called me into the tent, she wouldn't put a candle. I asked, could we have a candle here? No, she said, let it be dark. Tonight, start this way. Then tomorrow we'll have candles. When I woke up in the morning to look at her for the first time, I got the shock of my life. It wasn't Rachel. It was her sister, Leah, in the bed. I said, well, how come you're here? My father told me to come here.
What?
Why was your father doing that? Why?
I don't know. Where's Rachel? Rachel's in the tent.
I was absolutely enraged. I got dressed, went to the breakfast table. There he sat eating his breakfast. I said, Uncle, how could you do this to me? I have worked for you for 7 years. We agreed that you would give me Rachel as my wife. And what do? You give me Leah instead. You know I don't love Leah. I can't love Leah. I love Rachel. How can you do this to me? You've deceived me. You've lied to me. You've cheated. How do you do that? You know, it's one thing when you cheat somebody else and you lie and you do it, but when somebody does it to you, it's a whole different story. He said, Jacob, my boy, wait a minute now. Don't be so upset now. This one's No. Jacob, look. You live in a country where we have a law here. We have a rule, a law. We go by this all the time. The eldest daughter has to be married first before we can marry the younger. That's the way it is in our country. So, well, you know that, but that's why I had to give you Leah. Look, so upset, okay? Because we've got a deal here, and I've got a deal, and we've got a good thing going, and we're going to have something even better. And this is what I think. When the people have gone, when the week is over, and everybody's gone, and it's just this family here, I will give you Rachel too. And you can have her as your wife. So then, you will have both and Rachel as your wife. But now there's one problem with that. Because you made a bargain with me. Yeah, you made a bargain. And the bargain then was this. You want to work for me for 7 years, and as a result of it, you get a wife. But now you get two wives. Well, brother, do the math, will you? If you have 7 years for one wife, then two wives will mean 14 years. You will work another 7 years. End of conversation. And he was gone. As I told you, it's one thing to have people cheat you. It's another thing when you cheat people. We immediately had difficulty in our home. Leah was able to have children. Rachel couldn't have any. We tried. Nothing. Leah had a son. Then Leah had another son. And by this time, she was getting very upset that my God would not help her get a child. And finally, she decided on something that was a convention in our land and in our world in which we live, and that is that if somebody couldn't have a child, then she could give her servant girl to the husband, and the child that would be born by the servant girl would go for the wife. So Rachel offered me her servant girl in order that she could have a son. And it worked. And that's how she got a first son. When Leah found that out, she gave me her servant girl, and she wanted to do it too. So by the time we got through with all this, we had two sons over on the one side, two sons over on the other side from the servant girls. Leah had six sons before Rachel had Joseph. But that's a little bit later on. So 7 years went by. I didn't get a penny. I owned nothing. Then Laban talked to me again at the dinner table one night. Well, son, you've had 7 more years, and now they're all over, and now we've set up some type of thing, what we need to have some wages, huh? Because I think we should give you something for what you've been here. You've been 14 years, and you haven't had anything. I knew that. But now, well, we'll do something. So what do you want? He said, what do you want? I said, well, I wanted to go very easy on this to begin with. I said, there are some animals that are speckled and striped, and I will take those, and you can have all the rest, but those few I would like, and we'll start that way. And any that are born speckled and striped, I would like to have. Yeah, boy, that's very good. He said, very good. I like that. That's fine because there's so few of them. You never had any of those, you know. And so God helped us. So I decided to do something. I found some sticks like this, and I made some, used a knife and made some streaks in them, and I made some spots in them. And I put these sticks in front of the animals when they were being watered and taken care of. And I was thinking that if they looked at it, they would bring forth animals that would be speckled and striped. It worked. And that is when I realized God was blessing me as he said he would. Animals were all over, speckled and striped, and kept so much. It didn't last more than a year or so, and Laban was again a mule. We've got to change wages. This is not going to be, we've got to change. Well, I said, how about I take the black sheep and any other dark animals, skinned animals, that, again, this is just but a hand few. And what wouldn't you know that black sheep were being born and dark animals, and everything happened as a result of whatever I wanted. For 6 years, Laban changed my wages 10 times. 10 times. And every time, whatever happened, it prospered. So that at the end of those 6 years, I had maybe 75 or 80% of all the herds and animals that belonged to him, and he had a very few left. We were separated by 3 days, and I had maybe all 100 servants or so, and God had blessed me, and what God had said to me came true. I will bless you and prosper you. I will feed you. I will clothe you. Everything went my way. And I had 11 sons by that time. And I went to the wives and I said, we have to leave here. My God has spoken to me. We must go back to the land that belongs to me and we will leave. And they were ready to go. They had seen what my father had done, what their father had done. And they were ready to go. We took off. But and animals and all that. So Laban comes storming into my camp. He is fit to be tied. What did you do now, boy? What did you do now? How come you took off like that? You didn't say goodbye. You just took off. You've been with me for all these years, and you didn't even say goodbye. You didn't allow me to kiss my grandchildren goodbye and my daughters and all that, and it's all mine, and you've taken it. And he went on and on and on and on, and he said, I determined to come here and do you harm. I was going to kill you. But last night, your God spoke to me, and he said, do not harm Jacob, so I can't touch you. But now I want to tell you why I came. You know, there's a reason why I came here, and this is the reason. You took my gods. You took my idols. You took my worship family gods. What did you do that for? Now it was my turn to be angry. I did not take your gods. I did not take anything from you. And whoever took them, if you want to kill that person or take his life or her life, take his life, you can do that. Because I have no idea why. I found out that he didn't come back because he missed his children or his grandchildren. He came back because he lost his idols. That's all. I did not know that my wife, Rachel, had taken them. Now I found out what she did, but I didn't know that she did it at the time. I found this out later. She took the idols. She put them in the saddlebacks of her camel. She sat on the camel. And when Laban came around into her tent, he searched my tent. He found nothing. Went to Rachel's tent. She excused herself and said, I'm on my period. I can't move. Please go into the tent and help yourself. And so Laban come back empty-handed. He couldn't find them. Now it was my turn to be upset with him. And we determined that the two of us would never see each other again. Laban threw a line in the sand. He said, if you come over to this side, you're dead meat. And if I come over there, I'm not coming over there to you. So you stay that side, and I stay on this side. I said, I agree with you. God watch between me and you while we're absent one from the other. And we never saw each other again. And the girls didn't to mind. Now we were headed into the promised land, the land that God had given to my father and grandfather, and we were going back with herds and sheep, many, many animals and servants, and I sent two servants ahead and try to find out where Esau was and to let him know that we were coming. It was 20 years. I'd hoped that everything would be all right and we would be together again. The servants came back, maybe two or three days. They told me this. Esau is on his way to meet you, and he has 400 men with him. I was scared. What now? 400 men. I had less than 100. What could he do? Something. And remember, my philosophy was still, I had to think of something. I called my servants together, and I said, I wanted to have you do something for me here. I wanted to have three or four of you go and get 200 of our sheep and 20 of the male sheep and 200 goats and 20 rams and round them up and bring them together and take them to my brother Esau. And when you get to see him, tell him a present from your brother Jacob, who is coming back into the land. And I said to three other servants, I said, come over here. When those men have gone with the sheep and with the goats, I want you to take 30 camels and their young. I want you to take 30 donkeys and 10 male donkeys and round them up and drive them down and take them to my brother Esau. To him, a gift from your brother Jacob. He got three more servants together. And leave plenty of time between the herds so that they don't come on each other. Leave about 20 minutes between and then come on.
Take one more step. Take 30 cows and 10 bulls and bring them
and round them up and go take them to Esau another half hour later. And tell them a gift from my brother, your brother, Jacob. I had to do one other thing. I divided our camp into three parts. The first part had the two servant girls and their children, and the servants with them. They would be up front, so that the first group that Esau would meet when he came would be them. Then, separated from them, by enough so that they couldn't see each other, I had Leah and her six sons with the servants. And then, again, separated from them, way behind them, would be Rachel and Joseph. I reasoned that maybe Esau, if he took care of one group, would not go on and destroy the others. That night, I went for a walk. I went to pray. I prayed to God that he might protect me and thanked him for bringing me, prosperous as I now was, with wives and children. And with his blessing, I was going back into the promised land, and he was going back because this is what he wanted me to do, and asked him to help me overcome Esau and whatever Esau had in mind with his 400 men approaching me. I don't know. I prayed. It seemed like a long time. It was dark. My opinion was maybe past midnight and getting more toward the morning. I was still out there, still worried and concerned. I was over, not far from me. I took a look over there. It was quite dark night, but I saw something move. It was not an animal. It was a human being, a person. Was it Esau, somehow or other, coming there? No. Looked like Esau, it couldn't be. What was it? It was a man of some kind, I didn't know. He came out of the bush, and he came toward me, and he attacked me. Well, I fought back, and we wrestled. We fought with each other, one after the other. He had me down once, but I got back up again, and I had him down once, and he got back up again. And we went on for a long time. I can't even remember how long we did. I don't know what was going on here. And the day was breaking, just a slight bit on the horizon. Suddenly, while we were wrestling, he took his fingers and he was hitting me right here in the and back on my hip, my sciatic nerve, and it went right down my leg and it chopped on my leg. And I fell on the ground in pain. And I realized that I'd been wrestling with God, with an angel, with I didn't know. And I said to him, I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm the grabber. I hold on. Heel holder. I will not let you go until you bless me. He said to me, what is your name? So he doesn't know what my name is. I said, you don't know what my name is? He said, what is your name? What he wanted me to do was to confess that my name is Jacob, heel holder, grabber, deceiver, liar, cheater, all of that. I said, my name is Jacob. We were standing up. He said to me, your name will no longer be Jacob. No longer heel holder, no longer deceiver. Your name will be Israel, a prince with God. A prince with God? Me? I said, what is your name? And he vanished. Again, I need you to realize that he never said a word about my cheating and lying and deceiving, which is all my life. But he called me a prince with God. When I got back into camp, we realized that Esau was on his way. He made it toward us with 400 men, as I told you. And as I saw him in the distance, getting closer and closer, I decided that I would welcome him and worship him and honor him in such a way that he would realize that I was genuine in how I felt about him. I went down on my knees on the ground before him and worshiped him. And I got up and I got down a second time and did the same thing. To make a long story short, I went down 7 times on the ground before him to honor him. He came up to me, put his arms around me and said, how you been, brother? He'd been in the South a long time. I said, I'm fine. And and I realized that I had nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about with him. I introduced him to the wives and the children and everything else. And then he said to me, and what's with them animals, brother? Oh, you, I said, brother. I don't need them, he said. I want you to have them, I said. I don't need them, brother. I have plenty. I've got my own. I want you to have them. I really don't need them, he said. I said, keep them. He said, but why keep them? I said, but I don't really keep them. So he kept them. He went on his way. We had not seen each other again until many years later when we buried our father, and that was the only time we got together again. He was happy where he was living in the South. He was very prosperous, very affluent in his world. We came into the Holy Land now, and the land that God promised me. And when we came in, God said to me, I want you to take all those idols and images and whatever else it is that people brought in and are worshiping, and I want you to get rid of them before you go into the land. So we were there at Shechem. It was an oak, and I dug a hole, a large hole, and had the people come, bring their gods and their idols and everything that they had that was from the foreign land. We were going to worship God only and no other idols. And it was all over, it seemed like, when my tent opened, and I saw Rachel coming, and she had two little things in her hands like that. And she was walking with her eyes cut down, and she never looked at me. But she came right up to the tree, and she dropped them. And I realized it was the idols that belonged to her father. Then I knew what had gone on. And I also realized that with that, she no longer put her trust in those idols, but in the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and my God. A few years later, she had another son, Benjamin, and died in the process giving birth. I buried her,
And my life could be continued if you wanted to, but there's no reason to go on much further. You know that my son Joseph later went to Egypt, and I went to Egypt, and that's a whole other story, which Joseph, if he ever comes, might want to tell you. I came to tell you all this because the Bible says, Jacob have I loved. Jacob have I loved. And how could God love a person like me, who at the first thought that you got to do it all for yourself, when you're number two, you got to try harder, and you've got to do whatever you can to grab and to hold on, to deceive and lie and to cheat. And that's how I got the blessing of God. Not honestly. But now, my name is no longer Jacob, but Israel, a prince with God. And not only does my name go on in my children, who are Israelites, but a whole nation has come as a result over the years, Israel, taking my name. And if God can do that to a heel holder and a deceiver and a liar and a cheater like me, he can do it for you too, for anyone, no matter what you have done. God said, Jacob have I loved, and you have I loved. May this God of blessing and love be your God, now and always.